good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, March 17th, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Well.
Hello, Butch.
Hello.
Okay. You're a little rough, but...
A little rough? Okay, well, I'm right here.
Well, now I can hear you.
Okay, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Good, glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. I just got a phone talking to Lisa. She wanted to answer her phone for us during the week. We're not in the office. And that snow is up in Wisconsin, so I think I'll stay down here.
All right. We're not even supposed... We're just supposed to get a little bit of mix of snow and rain here in the Eastern Shore come Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, I know. It's not over yet, but I just rubbing in of 70 degrees here today, and I just giving it a hard time. But anyway, go ahead.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Are you wearing green today?
You know, actually, I'm not. I never even thought of it. And I'm part Irish.
And that's why.
Yeah. I forgot about it.
Yeah, well, happy St. Patty's Day.
But, thank you.
Yes. And I'm not wearing green either, but... So, let's see what gold was in the green today. How about that? St. Patrick's Day for gold, up $14.40. The New York spot price aftermarket at $1,746. Silver was up 41 cents at $26.41. Platinum was down 4 at $1,214. Palladium was up another 79 bucks, a little over 3.25%, $2,633. What's really amazing is this rhodium. Rhodium was up 2,000 today, almost 10.5% at 25,500.
Wow.
The reason I like to bring up and talk about rhodium and so forth is because this is a metal, and this is what we're going to see gold do. So these prices can run. And, you know, gold and silver will run. And we will see silly days. Not silly, but great days. Like, gold being up 10%. So, that's why I like to talk about rhodium. The dollar today was much weaker, 0.47 at 91.41. Crude oil was down 15 cents at 64.65. Paper markets today. The Dow was up 185 points, 33,011. The NASDAQ up 53 at 13,525. The S&P was up 11 at 3,974. 10-year yield, 1.64%. And quiet overseas. And, you know, I guess all ears was... listening to Jerome Powell today and his discussion of future inflation coming our way. And, of course, they're going to remain accommodative. And, you know, so you're not going to see a lot of changes. That's why the markets were higher. That's why gold responded a little bit. And, of course, there was a little bit of weakness in the dollar. So haven't had time to digest everything that he said, but really doesn't take a lot of time, because usually he says the same thing. All the Federal Reserve chairmen say the same thing. We're here for you. And don't worry. Be happy. We're here. We're here for you. If you need us, we'll be very accommodative to your wishes. If we need low rates, we'll give you low rates. We'll even go into negative rates for you if you need to. But so that was Jerome Powell. I really don't think there was too much more going on. It was here's an interesting Nokia. This was actually, I believe, this came out yesterday out of Helsinki. The wireless network maker Nokia says it's planning to cut up to 10,000 jobs, or over 10% of its staff. And they're to reduce costs as it invests in research and development and tries to cement its role as a key supplier of the 5G technology. Now, the restructuring means that the number of staff is expected to fall to 80,000. employees, and but they didn't actually say which company or which country it would be affected by this measure, but said the cuts would be carried out across its main four business units. So that's a lot of jobs, 10,000. Doesn't matter what part of the world it's in, it's a lot of jobs. And again, it's just a sign how everything is being affected. You know, these multinational corporations, they're cutting back. And and let's see if there was anything else worth noting. That was interesting. And we talked about the retail sales, how they suffered, during the big stormy weather and this, I don't know how big of an impact this might have, but they're beginning to see home buyers are canceling their contracts as costs are beginning to soar. The rising mortgage rates are kind of creating a little bit of a headwind. We've seen the lumber costs surge anywhere from 170 to 200% over the past year, and that adds around $24,000, $25,000 to the cost of a new home. You also look at the concrete, the metal products, appliances, other expenses. They're also increasing due to the supply chain disruptions that we saw last year during the shutdowns around the world. So the additional cost is preventing some first-time home buyers from entering the market. So they're canceling their contracts. Things are getting too expensive for them. And, you know, congratulations to them. At least they're making a wise decision. They're not getting into something that they might not be able to afford, or maybe they're just not getting financed. But again, this is something that we see, that people are being affected by what happened last year. Prices are rising. Lumber, 200%. You kidding me? And it's just not lumber, it's everything else. You know, we just talk about lumber because that's, you know, the forefront of building a home, but everything else that follows is increasing. So, get ready. Inflation is coming our way. Well, inflation is already here, Butch. But
yes, it is. Yes, it is. It truly is. And I know it's an ignorant question, but what is rhodium used for?
It's pretty much the same as just has a higher heating capacity, like palladium and platinum. So it's used in technology. It's even used in jewelry and so forth. Pretty much like the other two white metals. And you know, usually it's a mining situation. So it's industrial metal.
Wow, and wow, the price of it is phenomenal. Gee.
Yeah.
That speaks well what could happen to silver. I know silver won't go up that high, but, I mean, that could be a huge increase in silver then because that's also an industrial metal.
Yes.
It could go really, I mean, I do look for it to happen soon. I don't know when. I know one guest knows exactly when. But silver's been holding its own really well the last couple of months. You know, that $26, $28 an ounce. It's been holding its own very well. You know, it hasn't fluctuated a whole lot. Gold's actually fluctuated more than silver has. So, percentage-wise, I think, you know, it's a good investment, definitely. Any precious metal is. And I'm just tickled to see that we're seeing the results of a lot of people have put faith in what's going to happen in the economy and put the faith in maybe something that's going to be valuable. And they're being rewarded right now. The precious metals are going up.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, everybody knows where we're headed, so I don't want to repeat myself on that, but as I usually do, but yeah, I mean, inflation is here. Inflation is here to stay, and inflation is here to get worse. And that's not the only, gold is a hedge against inflation. And, you know, the cryptos are doing well, but trust me, cryptos are not going to replace gold. They're not going to replace money. Governments will come in. I saw one of the big banks, or I forget, was it not J.P. Morgan, maybe I don't remember which big bank it was, but they're actually bringing in the crypto availability for their wealthy clients. For their wealthy clients. To me, Butch, it's just a great way to avoid taxes. It's a great way to launder money. And it's all there for the wealthy, and it's the little guy, you know, who makes it available to these people. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you mentioned about the laundering. I read this day also, but I didn't catch who or where they put much attention to it. Some people were arrested for using crypto coins, I guess, in the wrong way. They actually were arrested. So, yeah, there's fraud in it also. You know, anything like that that's growing and working, someone will find a way to, you know, to cheat on somehow. That's just the way it is. There's nothing private any longer, nothing really safe, especially on a computer. I mean, there's going to be a day coming when people are going to be stealing Bitcoin out of their wallets, I think they call them. It's coming that, you know, that's just a matter of time. Somebody figures out how to do it and they go and do it. So Bitcoin is another nothing, a glitch on a computer, just a bloop, and that's all it is. There's nothing there, but people are counting on it, just like they are the paper dollars. And it's going to get hit one day. And there's no way that the world government's going to let this prosper beyond what they can reach. You know that.
Well, you know, it was Morgan Stanley who became the first big bank to offer its wealthy clients access to Bitcoin funds, and because they're using those NFTs and, you know, to where they can buy all this artwork, compute internet artwork and all this kind of stuff. And it's just, why would anybody want internet art? I mean, really? I mean, what is it? Somebody's first text or somebody's first, I mean, are you kidding me? For millions of dollars? It's just like, it's insane. It's just literally insane. But, so stronger economy, that's what the Fed sees, higher inflation, no rate hikes. Something else, I mentioned this, I think yesterday on the program, where there's a good possibility that the IRS would push the April 15th deadline to a later date because the state of Maryland did. And sure enough, here comes the IRS plans to push the April 15th U.S. tax deadline to May 17th.
Ah.
So for about 1 month. This was confirmed by CNBC. So it'll give the taxpayers a little more time to file their returns, settle bills. But what was really happening was, I know what was happening in the state. I mean, there was just a lot of confusion with a lot of these, with the stimulus checks that people were getting. They're $600 and $1,200, and they were really pressing for time because there was just a lot of changes and things that they couldn't catch up. So I'm not so sure they did it for the people, but it was more for their own processing along with the IRS, you know. So, but you get an extra month. You heard it here first. So, yesterday I told you. So anyway, what else do you have, Butch?
Well, there's a lot going on. I just started listening to what you're saying about different things and I still am trying to figure out what internet art is. I can't conceive that in my mind. What is internet art? What does that mean? You buy a painting on internet it's a virtual painting?
I don't know. I got to do a little research into it to see exactly what these NFTs are, but it's
it makes no sense. I mean, it's like Bitcoin. What is it? It's virtual. It's nothing there. I don't know. That's way above me, Melody. That's why I'm just an old hillbilly. I have no idea.
Well, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, so who knows?
I guess.
I just want to make this one announcement. Wendy Wilson usually joins us, but she had something she had to tend to, so she should be here next week. So for those of you who were usually anticipate Wendy Wilson being here from Apothecary Herb, she'll be returning next week.
Okay. Talking about gold, you know, it's amazing how many people shun gold, and a lot of investors tell people don't invest in gold, but Poland wants more gold. Now, you know, this would be a lesson to anybody that's listened to common sense. If nations want it to safeguard their wealth, why shouldn't we? We said the most reserve, they said it's the most reserve of reserve currencies. In 2018, the National Bank of Poland began aggressively adding gold to its reserves. Through the first half of 2019, the Polish Central Bank added more than 100 tons of gold, nearly doubling its reserves. 100 tons, Millie. I think we can live off that for a couple of weeks.
Perhaps.
So why did Poland decide to significantly increase its gold hoard? In a nutshell, to shield itself from geopolitical risk. Now, folks, listen to that. To shield itself from geopolitical risk. This is a whole, this is a nation, not an individual, a nation. You may want to pay attention to this. In this statement, the bank said, gold is the most reserve of reserve assets. It diversifies the geopolitical risk and is a kind of anchor of trust, especially in times of tension and crisis. Wow. Now, the Poles want to add another 100 tons to the reserves over the next several years. During an interview Monday, National Bank of Poland Governor Adam Kalimski said the bank currently holds 229 tons of gold, about half purchased during his term in office. So they said it is the most reserve of the reserve current assets. It diversifies the geopolitical risk and is a kind of anchor of trust, especially in times of tension and crisis. That's very well put, Melody. Very well put.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So if nations are trying to protect themselves from geopolitical upset and economic situations, shouldn't individuals think about this also for themselves? I know we can't buy tons of it, for goodness sake, but should we be putting something back in case, well, not in case, when it happens, when things do fall apart? With the geopolitical tension worldwide now, with war imminent in the Middle East and in, between Ukraine and other nations and in and China and Taiwan, I mean, shouldn't you be thinking about something that when the economy becomes so totally unstable that you can't even depend on your retirement checks? Won't you need something for reserve? And if Poland thinks it's working, maybe we should think the same thing.
Well, I think a lot of people do, and I think a lot of people, they're slow at it, and there's no fear in the markets, but they're, you know, people are beginning to think twice about what's happening, and especially after the elections that we have, and watching this administration do things. I think this administration is waking up more people than what the last administration thought, that we thought did. Watching this administration, it puts a little bit of fear in you.
It does. It does. Yeah, it does.
And it's crazy. It's insane. And we're heading into a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Gentlemen, did you get that number? Did you get that pick?
I did.
What was it?
Walt Disney. The theme to Walt Disney show. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of Doris Day. Zippity-doo-da.
Oh, yeah. Well, you remember the Musketeers.
Well, I do.
And Annette was everybody's heartthrob at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that was really more your time.
Yeah, well, you're 39 years old. You can't remember that. You can't remember that, though.
I know.
But I just remember because they used to come in on Sunday nights, and I used to love the cartoons about that. And then, anyway, yeah, I remember that.
And you know what's funny? Living on the East Coast, I mean, we didn't have vacations like kids do today. I mean,
no.
They didn't take families to Disneyland or down to Florida to Orlando, where it, you know, takes $500 just to go in for the day and so forth. So we watched Walt Disney on Sunday nights, and that was just always a place that it's like, wow, you know, we didn't get there when we were kids.
No. I went to the beach one time while I was at home. Before I left home, I was 16 years old. I went to the beach, and that was it. I went down to Virginia Beach. And that's not, we didn't go that far for vacation. We didn't have them. We didn't have the money.
Well, we went out west, but it was to visit family. It was always family. I mean, we went to Ohio for what? To visit family. We went to Arizona for what? To visit family. You know, and that was it. It wasn't much fun for us kids, you know. But anyway, back to the Walt Disney story. So it was always this place in my mind that was just incredible and just very, very, it really impacted your, you know. So I finally went there when I was about 21, 22. I was really disappointed. This is what I was thinking was so great all of those years when I was a kid, and it was just a big amusement park, but it was special. But I'm glad the children have a place to go to now that they can enjoy, like Orlando and you know, all those other places. And I'm sure technology has taken the rides and everything to the next degree. Than what we had. I mean, we had what, roller coasters? That was the most exciting ride we had when we were kids. But so anyway.
Well, now that you're going through memories, I can remember growing up, we had a Force Festival, which was about 45 minutes away we were, and we got to go to that once a year, and they had a big parade, and they had rides, nothing huge, Ferris wheels, and, you know, and the merry-go-rounds, and some different things. But I remember I was young, and I think we went to the State Fair about 2 hours where I lived one time, and it wasn't a whole lot bigger than the Force Festival. But nonetheless, I remember Dad and Mom loved going to the shows, you know, the cattle shows and all things. Mm-hmm. That bored me stiff. I want to get out there and ride, you know? And now it's totally swapped around. If I ever go to a fair, I want to go to the shows. Mm-hmm. I want to go to the horse pulling contest or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if I remember the boy, though, that would just drive me up the wall. Just get out of here. Let's go do something exciting. Things change. You get older.
Yes, they do. I love going to the fairs to watch the animals and everything. I could just sit there for hours and watch them. Oh, even when I was a kid, yes. I could do that.
They had some beautiful animals. I mean, from cattle mm-hmm. to horses. I mean, gorgeous. And I love the horses because I always liked horses. But you talk about the draft horses, the Belgians and the other huge horses. I mean, I just loved them. They were gentle giants. They were just, I just loved them. Oh. I mean, so those are things, if I ever go to the fair, which I hardly ever do, I still enjoy going to see the horses.
Yep. Even when they have the little local county fairs and so forth, it's fun to go to watch all of these 4-H and, or is it 4-H or 3-H? 4-H. 4-H. You know, kids, you know, bring their animals and show them and so forth, you know, and for them to get their ribbons and everything. So, yeah, I love little fairs and things like that. So they're fun. Hope we can get to them again. Of course, we'll have to have our COVID passport.
Of course. Of course. Or the temperature going on the ground or something. So, yeah.
It's
ridiculous. But anyway, I remember those days. And going to the fair is not very often anymore, but I remember those. And Marcia goes, she likes to go through all the canon goods, you know, and look through that. That bores me to death, but she likes that, so I go along with her.
Well, what's bad about that, you know, you go to the part where they show all the baked goods and everything. You can't eat any of that. You just have to look at it.
That's just for looks, yeah.
Yeah, it's just for looks. Like, what's the point?
How do I know it's real? I want to taste it. Yeah. I bet people get a kick out of the show today. Boy, they're telling us a lot of news. But anyway. Okay, we'll move on to something else here. Toyota, Honda, shut U.S. factories as perfect storm disrupts supply chains. You know, this hasn't fixed itself yet. The supply chain's still broken. And one of the people that we offer, you know, Berkey water filters through our ministry here, and they're hard to get right now. The supply chain's still broken. But anyway, Toyota Motor Corporation, Honda Motor Corporation, and Samsung Electronics Company said supply chain problems were complicating their businesses as freak weather, port blockages, and the continued impact of COVID-19 combined to disrupt global supply chains. Toyota and Honda said Wednesday that they would halt production at plants in North America because of a squeeze in crucial supplies, including plastic components, petrochemicals, and semiconductors. Honda also blamed port backlogs and severe winter weather that has frozen plants and pipes across central U.S. for disruption. Separately, Samsung, the world's largest maker of smartphones, said a severe global shortage in chips will hurt its business into the next quarter. A South Korean company also said it might withhold launching a new model of one of its most popular handsets, though it said the move was aimed at keeping it from competing with an existing handset. So, Toyota, Honda, shutting down factories because they don't have the supplies to keep cars going in. And those are well-paid jobs, folks. Those are not just $10 an hour jobs. Car manufacturers union. Pay good wages and good benefits.
Union.
Yeah, union. And Samsung is having the same problem. So supply chain's still broken. This has been over a year now. Over a year, and things are reopening, but they still haven't got the process moving yet. I mean, when the ports are backed up and they can't unload the ships, that's not good. They're just sitting there. I mean, the chain is not back into full operation again, which means that the supplies are slow and people are being laid off. That's just the way it is.
I mean, you go into appliance stores, you can't find product. I mean, it takes, you know, furniture. It takes 6, 7, 8 months because of these supply chains have been broken. And we've talked about the supply chain being broken from the very beginning. When governments shut down their economies a year ago. And here we are a year later. So we're going to have a strong economy? I hope so. Highly unlikely. But it's, and again, you look at what this administration is doing. What are they doing? You know, the stock market, all these multinational corporations, they're betting. They're already spending the money that they're getting from this administration for the next stimulus, for the next infrastructure bill, to the cost of how many trillions of dollars? That's why they're all talking about a great economy. It's just...
It's manufactured credit out thin air. And now, of course, the UBIs are talked about even more because people are not working steady. They want their talk, but really, but some cities are doing it. Going to UBIs, eventually, I'm sure the Democrats will come through with an idea for a nationwide UBI to keep the economy flowing. But I don't understand that. I'm sure they know this is going to cause inflation. It's going to cause a collapse totally of the dollar. Eventually, it has to, because it's not back. And so, but they're discussing UBIs and another bailouts, and you said the infrastructure. Where is the money coming from? There's no money there. So obviously, they're just putting printing paper and giving credit. There's nothing there of value, folks, to make it tobacco with. They're just doing it because they can do it and they can print paper. The only thing that makes dollar worthwhile, Mel, is because you and I believe it's worth something. That's what makes it work. If we lost faith in it, it wouldn't be any good.
Absolutely.
So how long is it going to take before people realize a dollar is not worth anything any longer? It's dropping down to nothing. It had been ever since 1933. That's going to happen, you know, and here we are 100 years later. Think about it.
We certainly do live in very some dangerous times. And you know what? You know, if anybody is betting on any of the Republican Party, here the House Republicans lift the party's ban on earmarks. They voted to lift their decade-long ban on earmarks, giving members the power to direct federal agencies to spend specific amounts of projects in their home districts. As Democrats look for ways to get Republicans on board with the major infrastructure package later this year. So, I mean, it was only 2011 after the House had stopped using these earmarks, and that was after the GOP had won the majority. There were reports of fraud, abuse. You had this high-profile corruption scandals had made earmarks politically toxic. Both parties and both chambers backed away from them. Congress imposed a moratorium on the controversial practice. And Obama pledged to veto any bills containing earmarks. Now that the Democrats are in control of the White House and Congress, they revived the practice in the House this year and considering to bringing it back in the Senate as well. So, you know, that left the Republicans with a decision of whether to also embrace earmarks to retain the ban within the party. So they said, let's lift that ban, man. We can get some of that money and we can go back to being corrupt and we can go back to being, have some fraud and abuse along the way. And hey, all's good. All's good in D.C., right, Butch?
Good bribe money. It's good bribe money. Good way to get elected. Pork.
It's bribe money.
Just keep shoving
it.
The pork out there.
Yep.
You know, people love it, man. I'm getting free money here.
Yep.
And they love
exactly
it.
Exactly what it is.
And unfortunately, and I'm saying this very kindly because I'm just guilty of anybody else. I didn't know until some years ago, obviously, that this free money is not free money. And I thought, you know, minimum wage is a good thing. And I thought, I mean, I just didn't know. And once I saw the truth, I can understand why people are deceived by it because it sounds good. Well, I'm going to get $1,400 in the mail. It's going to cost you over $41,000 in taxes.
Yeah.
So, but no one thinks about that because they're going to get that check in the mail, whatever, and they can cash it and go on vacation or something. They're not thinking about what's going to cost in the long run. And all it's doing is adding to the collapse of the economy and the devaluation of the dollar. That's all it's doing. But no one thinks about that because I've got free money today. There's no such thing as free money.
Nope.
We don't have any money. We haven't had money in this country for years.
This country is bankrupt.
It is.
It's
way
been bankrupt,
beyond bankrupt.
For 40 years. It's been 30 years. It's been bankrupt. Remember Traficant? He was one of the first politicians who came out and said that this country was bankrupt, and he ended up in jail.
He did. He certainly did. Mistreated all the way through. But the Bible tells us, Deuteronomy, you know, that the nations that forget him will end up being borrowers instead of lenders. And that's why we are the biggest in debt. We are the most indebted nation in the world today. And we used to be the one that everybody owed.
Yeah.
Now we owe the world. Folks, think about it. They've deceived us beyond belief. And that's our own fault. We should have known better, but we didn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, you talk about retail sales collapsing in February and online sales plunge even. That's amazing. They see, you know, they said the paycheck, the payback from the stimulus-induced gain in January, delayed tax refunds, winter blizzard, all that added to it. But I wouldn't have thought about online sales plunging either in February. I didn't even think about that. I figured they stay strong.
And plus, I don't remember how much of an impact the short month had. I mean, there was a couple of days. It's 28 days.
I wouldn't think 2 days would make a lot of difference, though, would you?
Like some, when you combine with everything else.
Well, I guess, but 2 days is, well.
I mean, you're still talking.
Up.
I mean, yeah, you're still talking, you know, billions of dollars, perhaps.
And U.S. fourth quarter productivity weakest since 1981. The U.S. worker productivity fell at its sharpest pace in 40 years in the fourth quarter. The government confirmed though the trend remained solid. Non-farm productivity, which measures hourly output per worker, dropped at 4.2% annualized rate last quarter. It was the deepest rate of contraction since the second quarter of 1981. That is something. And I wonder, because what do you think's the problem with that? What happened there? What happened? Why did the production rate drop? Because you can't get the products, can't produce. What's going on?
All of the above.
All of the above. Well, I passed that test. Okay, good.
All of the above.
Good, but yeah, that makes sense. But I mean, the productivity drop, and of course, we know that the trade deficit grew another huge amount last month. So we're seeing America is still lagging behind about everything. And we see, you know, I'll maybe discuss in a minute how there's more hiring being done. But it's all in the service industry. There's no production industry being made. Jobs are not growing back in the production industry. Well, I guess we don't have the plans anymore to produce anything. We shipped it all overseas years ago.
Yes, I mean, that's happened a long time ago, but, you know, no one ever addresses that problem, and just wait till more and more technology comes in and takes over more and more jobs. That's going to be the government's biggest problem, is jobs. And spending, you know, trillions and trillions of dollars on infrastructure spending won't, maybe for a short period of time, I mean, I'm talking a very brief period of time, compensate for not bringing other jobs and creating other jobs in this nation. It's just a temporary fix. Our country is in decay. We do need the infrastructure, but I mean, you know, we're already broke.
Well, yeah, we are, and that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
UBI. If the jobs take over by automation, UBI. I mean, that, you know, you remember the work? I remember this. I don't remember this, but I remember the WPA. Franklin Roosevelt put people to work, mm-hmm. and government paid for them to do certain things, and I guess it helped a little bit. But it ended. But so will infrastructure jobs. They will end. And that is paid for by the government. It's going to end.
Well, remember Obama's road to recovery?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the billions of dollars? And we're heading into a break. We're not watching the time today. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Starsky and Hutch.
Yes, 700, like I showed you, I remember that. And that's amazing, yeah. Didn't get my trash shows. That's how I remember the music.
Is that correct, Starsky and Hutch?
No, it's Chips.
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 Oh, Chips. Oh, I didn't like that one either. I like Starsky and Hutch.
You got to target on the air here and
tell
me.
Are we on break?
No, we're not on break. We're back on the air.
Are we live?
We're live.
Oh, we're live. Okay, we better get serious.
Yeah. No, let's not get serious.
Let's get semi-serious.
Okay.
But, everybody thought during the break we were talking about Bob Barker, The Price is Right, and we thought that, you know, we didn't know if he was still with us, and I guess he is. And I even looked up, he's in a wheelchair, but he's still hanging in there. So good for him.
97 years old, right?
Yes, that's correct. So,
wow.
So I hope everyone's enjoyed our little diversion here, of playing our bumper music with, old TV shows, old TV programs. And wow. Takes you back, doesn't it, Butch?
It does. It does. And it doesn't seem that long ago, but it really has been. You know, I don't get much. I don't watch much TV anymore. There's something that is an old show, maybe that I used to enjoy. But look, the date from 1956 and other things. And I was 8 years old then. I was 8 years old, 1956. I was born in 48. And I look at those things and think, how can all those years go by so fast? I remember these shows. And Rawhide. Remember Rawhide?
I loved Rawhide.
I mean, it's back on again. I get to watch it once in a while and get a chance to watch TV. I don't watch these new programs. It's all filth, and I won't get into that. You can't watch it. It's not made for families any longer. But I remember those shows. And I remember Dad and my brother and I sat and watched those and together. Sugarfoot and Cheyenne and all those. But anyway, I'll shut up and move on to something else now.
Okay, what's next?
I have more fun talking about TV, though, than I do through the news.
What else is...
Deficit projected at $2.3 trillion for 2021, not counting additional stimulus. Now, that's a biggie, because if they do another stimulus package, it's going to be another, trillion, $2 trillion, $3 trillion. Who knows what's going to be before this year's over. The federal deficit is projected to be $2.3 trillion in fiscal 2021, the Congressional Budget Office said. That's smaller than 2020 shortfall of $3.13 trillion, but larger than anything the nation had seen prior to COVID-19 pandemic. Federal debt will swell to $35.3 trillion in 2031. It said the largest debt to GDP ratio in U.S. history. And folks, that is a deception. It's much more than that right now. It truly is. It's way more than that right now. More than you and I can imagine. We can imagine $35 trillion. Much less what it really is. But how do we even understand? And $2.3 trillion. Who of us, Melody, today can comprehend having $2.3 trillion?
Well.
I mean, really? Think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know. Well, but the number, when it's fiat and it's not real, the numbers do become meaningless.
They do.
They're just words. It's meaningless. And it doesn't seem to have any negative impacts, it seems, although they're there. And we will feel it. We feel it every day through inflation.
We do.
But unless someone from the government or someone from your favorite financial news program, until they come out and say, gee, there's inflation, nobody pays any attention to it. They just keep doing what they're doing and buying what they need to buy. And, you know, oh, well, I want it, so I'm going to get it. And that's all. And that's how we've been conditioned. You buy what, you know, remember we were going through the 90s and it was do what feels good.
Sure.
You know, if you want something, you buy it. You have your credit cards to do so. So they've kind of eliminated anyone even thinking about inflation and why we have it.
Or being in debt. They don't think about that anymore.
Being in debt.
You know.
Yeah.
But to put it in perspective, 1 trillion seconds ago was 32,000 years ago. Think about that, folks. And they say we're $35.3 trillion in debt. If we pay back a dollar a second, we never get it paid back. So, anyway, let's share that.
Thank you.
And household debt rises to $14.6 trillion due to record-breaking rise in mortgage loans. $15 trillion in household debt. How can that ever be paid by the people? I mean, I'm serious about this. We have 330 million people in this country and probably 150 million working out of that bunch. How can anyone pay back that kind of money? Consumer debt totaled $14.6 trillion at the end of 2020, rising at 1.4% in the fourth quarter. The increase came largely due to the record-breaking rise in mortgage debt, which now totals more than $10 trillion. Student loan debt saw a modest increase in 2020 amid a surge in forbearance programs. But $10 trillion in mortgage debt. And I was reading somewhere that the back rent now due in New York City, When the moratorium ends, is over $1 billion. Now that sounds like a lot, Melody, but compared to $10 trillion, it's a drop in the bucket.
Yes.
It's nothing. And what's going to happen when the court ruled that the moratorium on rent was unconstitutional? They can't do it, so it's going to end. Where are the people going to go? And it's not fair to the landlords, I said many times. But where are they going to go?
I don't know where they're going to go.
I mean, that's going to be millions of people.
Yeah. Well, I know where they can go.
Where's that?
Well, you know, earlier we were talking about the NFT art and so forth. Well, here's a creator who sold an NFT house for $500,000 and will be living in an augmented reality lifestyle soon. So she sold an NFT digital house in a transaction valued at more than $500,000.
And what did you say? What does that mean?
The creation called Mars House is part of Kim's grand vision for the role augmented reality will play in the world. Right now, a lot of the NFT art that's currently available on platforms, it's a very limited parameter of how you can present the art. It's presented basically as a digital file, a beautiful drawing or video on your screen, but my intention was to look beyond that. The new owner, I don't know who's more, I don't want to say dumb, is the one who creates it or the one who actually buys it.
But what
so
to do
it's a
with
reality,
it?
It's a reality house. But it's not a real house.
How do you live in it? I mean, you know,
you
what are you going
to
do?
You get to see a 3D vision of this house and you pretend you live there?
At $500,000?
$500,000. She believes that she actually foresees that we will be living in an augmented reality lifestyle.
These people already
within
are.
A very short period. She says predicting it could happen in a couple of years.
They already are. These people are in la la land. They're already
well, you know what? She can have a pretty nice house for $500,000. But who's
the idiot? I tell you what now. Can anyone design one of those and sell it? I'm serious. I mean, she designed herself and then sold online?
Well, I don't know. They have these auction houses. I think it was at Christie's auction last week, an NFT collage from the artist Beeple, whoever that is, sold at a Christie's auction for $69 million. It's a digital.
Oh, my gosh.
It's digital.
And did they pay for it with Bitcoin or what?
I think they pay with it through cryptocurrencies. Yes, that's how they pay for it.
So make-believe currency to buy a make-believe home. That makes sense.
Make-believe home.
Oh,
anyway.
Melody, it's unbelievable.
I know.
It is. I'm sitting here thinking, how can anyone even think? I mean, wow. I guess we're just old fogies. I don't understand that at all. That's way above me. It really is. But it's insane.
Right. But when you were asking where all these people will be living, it's like, hey, they can go get a virtual house.
At $500,000. But anyway, well, investors are now seeing the light. Investors now fear inflation and the Fed. Inflation and the Fed more than COVID, Bank of America survey shows. COVID-19 is no longer the biggest tail risk for investors, according to the latest Bank of America fund manager survey. The pandemic has been replaced by inflation. Well, we're not having inflation. Well, investors say we are going to. And fears of a bond market taper tantrum, whatever that means. But nonetheless, they're scared of the Fed and inflation.
Yeah.
But the government says everything's fine, we're the inflation under control, but investors are afraid of inflation and the Fed. Folks, think about that. Inflation's for real, and the Fed is printing nothing out of nothing, and it's putting it out in the market, and it's going to cause inflation, which is a double whammy, because the Fed will print more to cover that. This is what we're into. And investors are afraid of that. More than COVID. Any comments, Melody?
No, I don't. I mean, the whole world is insane. Except for those of us who understand what's going on and buy gold and silver.
And with all sincerity, folks, you need to think about this. I know most people like me, Mel, they can't afford a lot of extras. I know that. A lot of them are struggling putting food on the table. If you can come up with an extra $100, whatever, put it in silver or something. Put it back. The G7 agrees to boost IMF reserves by $650 billion to fund pandemic relief. It's Tokyo Reuters. G7 advanced economics have agreed to boost International Monetary Fund's reserves by $650 billion through new allocation of the fund's special drawing rights, Japan's Kyoto news agency reported on Wednesday. The increased reserves will be used to fund a package of relief measures for emerging economies hit by the COVID-19 pandemic, Kyoto said. Finance leaders of the Group of Seven economics will sign off on the deal at an online meeting to be held on Friday, Kyoto said, without citing sources. So the IMF loans money to nations, and they can't pay it back. The IMF controls the nation. Isn't that a good way to put it?
Pretty much.
And they do that all the time. Most folks don't realize that our senators and congressmen are paid from the IMF, not from us. They don't know that, but it's true. And search out for themselves. So we're seeing this whole thing come together here. Nations borrowing from the IMF, which more or less is a world bank, and they pretty much control it. Any comments on that?
No, you know, I recently saw a program where the issue was the disruption in this nation was, and the explanation as to why these riots and the coup was happening is because you do have, like you have a poor nation, a third world country who wants to improve his water and so forth. So, you know, they borrow the money in order to, have them come in to do all this work and to improve their water and so forth, and then they can't pay it back. So then they come in and then they take up the water rights of this nation. So it can be the water rights, it can be the mineral rights, it could be, anything of wealth that a nation might have in these third world countries. That's what they do. And and most of the time these countries are so poor they can't fight, and they're so small they can't fight to, you know, do anything about it. So, you know, and I think a large degree of that, that's why we, the U.S. pushes for all of these regime changes and that we've seen over the years, over the decades, and we go in and we steal their wealth.
Yeah, we do. Their natural wealth, yes.
China does it. I mean, we're not the only nation that does it. But the backing comes from the IMF.
All imperial nations do that. All imperial, you know, that's what we are, an empire. So that's what we do. That's how we survive.
Yes, and, absolutely.
And two more things very quickly. A New York Assembly opens Cuomo impeachment inquiry, hires law firm. So it looks like Cuomo is going to be up for impeachment. And I don't know what's going to happen, you know, behind the scenes, whether it's all these accusations true or not. I really don't know. And Gavin Newsom admits on The View that he's spooked by the push to recall him. Of course, I'm worried he's hit. Now, this is who he's blaming. He's blaming the white supremacist groups. Now, yep. Now this is what he said. He is. He said that the top 10 proponents of people that were behind this are members of three percenters, the right-wing militia group, the Proud Boys who supported this insurrection. These are the ones in QAnon that are behind it. But they're white supremacist groups, and they're trying to get him out of office. Now, isn't that amazing? They got 2 million signatures, and all of them are probably white supremacists.
That's amazing.
Wow. It is amazing. It is amazing, but he says he's nervous. He's, you know, he could lose his office, and I say take him out. He certainly deserves it, and so does Cuomo, by the way. That's my opinion for the day.
You know, Cuomo and his 15,000 people who died in nursing homes, that's who he has to be held accountable for. And every other state that had a governor or a mayor who had the problem with these nursing homes, they also need to be held accountable. And we're accountable for time, so we need to leave. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.